وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Marana and dear respected listeners, it's very cold out there, extremely cold. Wherever you are, please do take care, especially if you guys are on the road. I know a lot of people are coming down to Durban and the roads have been clogged, so be very careful and just take instructions from all the authorities on the road. So welcome to the Power Hour, fourth episode, episode number four. And continuing from last week, we spoke about last week personal power to success, and we spoke about the five secret keys to success. And we said secret number one was all about having the right mindset and knowing what you want. Secret number two was about when you know what you want, now you got to take action. And we spoke about, you know, taking action. What are some of the things that holds people back from taking action? And then we also said taking action means we need to also manage our time. And we actually spoke a little bit about time. We introduced the time segment about time management, why it's important, why we have to take control of our time, you know, this resource of time. Everybody wants it. And we looked at what are the leading time wasters. And then we closed up. And we said we will continue this week talking about effective time management. And then we'll go into secret number three, which is to have a winning attitude in everything that we do, optimism. And secret number four is about having flexibility, right? The ability to change your approach when things are not working, or to scale up what's working and do more of what's working and less of what's not working. And secret number five was about perseverance and persistence, something that is lacking a lot in this day and age where people give up very easily, whether it's in school, whether it's in marriages, whether it's in business, you know, people give up very easily. So those are the five secret keys to success. And now we're going to continue with the second secret, which was about taking action. And we're going to continue on effective time management. We spoke about where we lose time. So one of the most important things you, listener, can do is to make a list of, look at, you know, at least 30 minutes of leakages in time. So what I mean by this is, where are you losing time in your 24-hour cycle? Find me at least 30 minutes. At least 30 minutes anywhere in your 24-hour cycle, okay? And that will show you now, oh, okay, I'm now taking control. I'm doing something with my time. So how do we go about, we know now where we're losing time, how do we go about taking control and managing the time that I have? You know, this word time management, It's a very confusing phrase, because I always tell people, you know, you can't control time, but you can manage the time that you have. You can manage yourself, you know. So no matter what you do, you're still going to have 24 hours. So it's about you managing that 24 hours. All right. So one of the most important things, number one, to be in charge and in control of your time, you must know exactly what it is that you want to accomplish and achieve. So this means we got to go back to what we spoke about last week. I got to have goals. I got to have a vision. I need to have goals in different areas of my life. So when you know exactly what you want, now I can assign time to it. And remember, a reminder again, dear listeners, Islam has the most perfect time management system in the world. We have time for everything. You know, you got your five daily salah at fixed times. So that's a time management system. There's time for duha. There's time, you know, you get, we need to look at time differently from how we are known to look at time. Okay. So a lot of people like to look at time, you know, in a clock where it's going around, right? I like to look at it very differently, and I like to look at it more on a linear, you know, in a different way instead of being it linear, because I believe, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us time for duha. You know, there's certain times in the day when duas get accepted. You got angel's time, where there's a shift of change of angel. So there's various times that we can look at, you know. So what we got to do is we got to block time. So you got five daily salah. You know that's a block of 15 to 20 minutes for each salah, or even 10 minutes, right? So you work in block time. This is the number one strategy that you got to implement in your life. It's called blocking time or block time. Right. This is even for students in school. We teach them this concept of block time. So all you do, it means you're blocking out time in different blocks. So you start off with your five daily salah. Thereafter, you got a block for breakfast, you got a block for school, you got a block for lunch, you got a block for Zohar Salah. And if you're going to work, you got a block for work. And even in that block at work, you can break that up also into little smaller blocks. So get used to the idea of blocking time, either in 30-minute blocks or one-hour blocks. Now, I prefer you do this in blocks of 30 minutes. If anybody wants, I will provide you with a 3 one-page weekly schedule that has it's blank and it's, you know, blocked out in blocks of 30 minutes. Now, the reason why I choose 30 minutes, remember, a lot of diaries and planners come with one-hour blocks. And in a block of 1 hour, sometimes 10 minutes get lost here, 5 minutes here, so we lose it. In a block of 30 minutes, it's much more smaller, and you know you've got things to achieve. So, you know, it's far more focused and far more effective. So let's start working in blocks of time. The second very big and important, key in managing and controlling the time that you have is to know the difference between what is important and what is urgent. These are in all the tasks that you have to do, all the actions that you have to take. What is the difference between what's important and what's urgent? Most people don't know. If I were to ask you, listener, what will you do first? Will you do something that's important or will you do something that's urgent? Most people will tell you that they will do something urgent. And that's the wrong approach. That's the very wrong approach. So let me give you the distinction or the difference between what is important and what is urgent. So urgent things are begging for your attention. They want your attention right now. Like, for example, if your phone is ringing, ring, 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 it's saying, answer me, answer me, answer me. You feel the urge that I have to answer. You know, the whole law that says, no, you don't have to answer now because you're busy, right? So urgent things are generally begging for attention right now. An important thing, this is where you need to listen very carefully. Important things have consequences. Something will happen. If I do it, something will happen. If I don't do it, also something is going to happen. For example, if I, let's just say I'm writing a test or an exam. It's important. If I don't study, I'm not going to perform as good as I can, or I might fail. And if I do study, I'm going to get good marks. I'm going to perform better. So important things have consequences. Something will happen if I do it or if I don't do it. Now, when it comes to this important and urgent, task and the difference between it, we need to know, because sometimes you can get some tasks that are urgent and important. I'll give you an example. An example would be if a teacher tells or a lecturer says, okay, we are writing a test tomorrow morning. Monday morning, we are writing test. So suddenly, now it becomes urgent and important, and something that you have to now do immediately. It's not the best place to be, but it's something that now becomes both urgent and important. Now we need to start deciphering and learning how to manage which one do we do. The best one to do is any task that is important but not urgent. If it's important but not urgent, means I can plan. I can now plan when I'm going to do it. This makes me proactive. And remember, we spoke about empowered and disempowered people last week. So empowered people are very proactive. They take planned action. So the best place for you to be in terms of your time is having a plan and planning when I'm going to do certain tasks, whether it's studying, sleeping, playing, you know, visiting family, whatever it is, I can plan when I'm going to do it. And then you have things like, for example, things that are not important and even not urgent. So things that are not important and not urgent are probably things like, you know, for example, watching a movie or watching TV or something like that. Nothing's going to happen to you if you don't do it. You're not going to get smaller. You're not going to get shorter. Nothing will happen. You can even completely disregard it and leave it completely up. Nothing will happen. It's not going to affect your life. Okay? So it's not important and it's not urgent. And then you have also, when it comes to urgent and important, you have certain tasks that are they are urgent but not important. So I go back to that first one where I gave the example of the telephone ringing. If the phone is ringing, you can actually tell somebody else. can you take the call and tell them I'm busy right now? So what this means is we are delegating this task to somebody else, and we will call them when we are free. See, listeners, the key is this resource of time. If you don't respect your time, others will not respect your time. So you need to learn how to now become very respectful of your time. It's a resource. It's a very precious resource. Everybody wants it. Whether it's the richest of the rich, the poorest of the, everybody wants time. Okay. The next very important task about being in control and managing the time that you have in a day is having a positive winning attitude in terms of, I can do all these tasks. I can manage this and I can get it done. You got to have that belief that you can do it, right? The next very important point, when you want to learn how to be in charge and in control of your time, is about learning how to plan, organize, and prioritize tasks, right? You need to know certain things are extremely important and certain things are not very important, okay? So we need to learn how to now plan, organize which one goes where, and then prioritize which task am I going to do, right? We'll come to that and we'll discuss it a little bit more. The next very important point when it comes to effective time, right, being in charge and in control of your time is very important, is to manage your energy. A very important question to ask yourself is, when am I at my best and when am I at my worst? You know, the more energy you have, the more things you can accomplish. If you've got less energy, you're more tired, you're not going to do much. So if you learn and you can control and manage your energy, very important, right? So the question I ask is, when are you at your best? We have three different, you know, breakdowns in this time. And we call this, you go super productive time, when you are extremely productive, you know, you're at your best, at your peak. Then you get productive, which is okay, I'm in the middle average. And then you get non-productive time. Time, you know, which is not very productive, it's not going to achieve you much, but there are things that I need to do. Like, for example, I need to sleep, I need to eat, I need to take a shower. They're not very productive, it's just, you know, it's things, self-care that I need to do. It just has to be done. But in terms of my goals, these have no real direct role or impact. So we need to know, when are you at your best? Are you at your best early in the morning? A lot of people say, no. You know, I'm at my worst. Don't come to me early in the morning if I didn't have my coffee. So a lot of people wake up and they're not at their best. So you need to find out in the day, if you break your day down in blocks of 3 hours, right? Blocks of 3 hours, the first block starts at 5 a.m. and it's a four-hour block. So you break down your day into blocks. First block starts at 5 a.m. and finishes at 9 a.m. Your second block now is all three-hour blocks. 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Then you go 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and 9 p.m. to midnight, right? And then midnight to 3 a.m. Now, in this block of 3 hours, it's the first one, you need to know, when are you at your peak? Now, ideally, a high performer would have at least a minimum of 2 blocks at their peak. So if you find that, okay, I'm more of a morning person or I'm more an evening person, I'm at my best in the evening, you want to have one more block of hours where you're at your best. Most people generally, on average, have just one peak period. Now, for you to be a high performer and really achieve your goals and whatever you want to accomplish, this is what we call it personal power. You now become very powerful. You need to have a second block of 3 hours where you make yourself and you get yourself at your peak again. Okay, so managing energy also comes with managing stress. Everybody gets stressed out and it's normal, right? So sometimes there's good stress, right? There's a little bit of stress that is good for people because it now gets you into action. But too much of stress is not good. It leads to tension, which now makes the body tense and a whole lot of other It triggers off a whole lot of other challenges and issues. And the last thing about being in charge and control of your time is basically breaking things down. Now, using this terminal, bite-sized chunk, if I ask any one of you, you know, do you like to eat pizza? Yeah, we all like pizza, right? But if I were to give you a large pizza, if I tell you, I need you to finish this in one bite, what happens, sir? We go, oh, no, it's too much. I can't do that. This is exactly what happens to people with goals. Look at the whole thing and they get, oh, no, it's so much, right? So we got to learn how to break tasks, whether it's studying, whether it's work, whether it's eating something, whether it's business, break things down into little bite-sized chunks, okay? So that same pizza, now if we say, right, let's cut it in four, you got quarters. Now the same quarters, we cut it in one more time, in eight. Now you've got these little slices. Now if I told you, okay, this one slice, can you now finish it in one bite? Some might say, yeah. Some might say, okay, I'll roll it up and, you know, oh, I can take two, three bites. It's much more easier, you know. So we're going to do things by breaking them down. And you break things down right down to block, right, to a block of time. And remember what I said, use a block of 30 minutes. So you break down all your tasks, the things that need to be done, right down to blocks of 30 minutes. Okay. Now, also, let's go and dive a little bit deeper into how should we plan our time, right? A lot of people like to use a to-do list, a daily to-do list. Now, this is actually also reactive. It's a reactive approach to use a daily to-do list because now you're reacting to the day. Ideal and the perfect planning, especially in a high performance, is all about weekly planning. So you plan for the week, right? You have 168 hours, 7 days in the week. You can break down things and you can plan for the week. And if anybody wants a blank weekly schedule, I will send you a one-pager which has the entire week, Monday to Sunday, and it starts at 5 a.m. and goes right to, again, 3:30 a.m. If, you know, for those people that say they night out, they like to work early hours, you can use this three-time schedule, weekly schedule. Also, with our weekly scheduling, we need to plan for the month. Now, again, this is where your goals and your vision comes into play. So you need to have, you need to know what are all the things I need to accomplish, what are all the things I need to do for the month. So again, you want to invest in yourself and get yourself a nice, either a diary or a calendar, you know, and then you put in your weekly schedule in there. And best plan, especially when you have goals and vision, is to actually plan for every 90 days. Now, I know you may have heard that you plan for the year. The year, again, is 12 long months, and time gets lost. You'll put off things for a long time. Stop planning in such large amounts of time. What I found in working with over 100,000 people is the best amount or the best planning is when you plan by quarter, every 90 days, right? So you need to have a plan for every 90 days. Every 90 days, plan. You plan out on my long-term, my vision and my mission. So what this means is, you, number one, being proactive, right? Also, you are taking out time for your success because you're taking out time to achieve tasks for your goals and your vision. And remember what we said, it now puts you in charge. It makes you in control of your time. So plan first. You know the very famous saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So also very important, we spoke about this last week, with your goals, you need to know why. Why do I want it? Is it something that I want or is it something that somebody else wants for me? Because if it's something that somebody else wants for you, you won't be that committed and you may not give your time. You might actually just leave it out as well or procrastinate. Okay, so planning is absolutely crucial when it comes to time control and taking charge of your time. The next very important thing in this is I need to learn how to organize myself. We need to be very organized, right? So again, you need to create what I call a list, right? You can use a to-do list, but a weekly to-do list. So it gives you a breakdown of all the things I need to do for the whole week. And also, if you want to be a high performer, you can also make a not to-do list, that I should not be on my phone for 2 hours every day or 4 hours every day. I should not be wasting time and sleep, oversleep. So you got to have a not-to-do list as well with the things that you're not supposed to do. But generally, these are what we call your pillars. It makes you procrastinate. So when you procrastinate, you are doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, whereas you're supposed to be doing something else. Okay? So, like we said, now we need to organize ourselves, right? And we make a list of everything that needs to be done. Make a list. Write it down. Put it on your schedule, right? Before we actually now start assigning time to it, now we need to know which are the most important ones. Which ones are the most important? And again, remember what important means. There's consequences to it, right? So what are the most important tasks for me right now? And you start focusing on things of high importance, right? High importance. And yes, I must warn you, you know, what happens is generally when people start taking control of their time, this gives them your personal power, right? What happens is initially when you start planning, you make a list of all your tasks, it might seem like, whoa, there's a lot here, right? Just put it down and be positive. You got to think about it very positively. And then you now start prioritizing, okay? So we planned it. Now we listed everything. And now how do we organize it and prioritize? These go together. We organize it in groups. So once you've made a list of everything that you need to do, right, now I need to group them. How can I group them? I group them in, for example, A is a task that has to be done right now, must be done. B are lower, slightly lower in priority. They can be done after I'm done with all the A, right, with all the A's, all the tasks that are in my A group. And then C is, they not, you know, it's very low in priority. I don't really have to get it. I got lots of time. It's due 2 months from now or it's due 2 weeks from now. I can move it to next week or the week after, right? That's called, it's low priority because I have time still and I can do it after I finish group A and group B. And then you have D. D, what are some of the tasks that I can outsource or delegate, get somebody else to do it, or get something else to do it? You know, a simple example is, if you have to wash the clothes or wash the dishes, you can now outsource that and get somebody else to do it. You know, you get the helper or you get a machine. Now, suddenly, that frees you up to do some other stuff. So, you got A, group A, are things that have to be done right now, immediately. Group B, things that, you know, will be done after I finish all the A's. And C, these are long-term. I've got time. I can move it to next week or next month because there's still time, right? It's low priority. D are what I can delegate, right? Delegate and get somebody else to do it because my time, instead of me spending 1 hour washing, like clothes or dishes, you say, oh, okay, that 1 hour I'm at my peak. I'd rather be doing something far more productive, right? Its value is much more higher. And then the last one is group E, eliminate. What from these tasks can I completely eliminate and remove it completely? It's not going to help me in any way. This will super boost your productivity. It will super boost your productivity. Now, how do you go about creating a to-do list? So I like to, actually, this is called a high-performance to-do list, right? It's not your ordinary to-do list. So basically, in your life, everything that you have to do, you break it down into projects. In school, students, you can break it down into subjects, okay? But generally, I like to tell people, break down your life into different projects. So your health becomes one project. Your spirituality becomes one project. Every aspect or every area of business becomes a project. So each area of your life is now one project. And for students, each subject is now also one area. Now you make you block out at least 5 or 6 blocks of all these things, these projects or subjects that I have to do. And under that, you write down all the tasks that you have to do for the whole week. So let's just say, in business, business as well, those of you that are in business, each project, one, like for example, sales can be a project, marketing can be a project, product development can be a project, customer relationship can be a project. So all of these things can be broken down even for the businessman, right? So again, like I said, now under each one, you've got to write down everything that you need to do for the student for each subject. What are all the things I need to do for the entire week in this subject, right? For your health, what are all the things I need to do for this week for my health? Like maybe you say, right, I need to be drinking 2.5 liters of water every day. I need to be exercising or taking out. You're writing everything that you need to do for that project or for that subject. Then underneath that, you now have the four main blocks, right? In terms of priorities, you have group A, group B, group C, and group D. Now, you write down, looking up at, now remember, all of this is on one page. That's why I call it the high performance to-do list. So you look up at your project and you say, right, what is the most important thing that needs to be done right now? It's very urgent. It's now a group A task. And you look up and you say, no, I need to go to the doctor's, right, my health. So you put down that. Now you start listing all the most important things in group A, high priority. They have to be done, right? I need to go do banking, or I need to do learn for this test. Whatever it is, high priority stuff, you put them in group A. And then when you've got 10 tasks already in group A, now you move to group B. And now again, you pull out 10 more tasks, okay? So this means the group B means I start with group B after I'm finished with all the group A. And then you've got the low priorities, group C, where, you know, that's after I can, even if I don't get time or I don't get to it, I can move it to next week or next month because there's a lot of time still for it. And then the group D are what are some of these tasks I can delegate and ask somebody else to do it or get something else to do it. You see? So it's very important. Now, on the top, I had my project / subject. Underneath that, I got my priorities. And now, under that, every day, when you look at this page, this one page, you just start from A. What are my daily tasks? On Monday, you go, right, okay, number one in group A, I've got to go to the doctor. Number two, I've got to study for this test. Number three, I've got to go to the bank. Number four, so you just keep knocking off each task and you strike it off when you're done. It gives you a sense of accomplishment. And when you're done with your 10, right? Remember I told you, just keep it to 10. Once you're done with the 10, now you move into group B. The first one, second one, and like that, you'll find yourself becoming highly, highly productive. You'll achieve much more, right? And remember, if something doesn't get done, that's okay. We can move it to the next day. Or we can come back to it, right? Just remember that we need to start taking action so that we can become very successful in whatever area of our life, whether it's studying, business, right, personal life, you have to start taking action. So this is basically how you now go about taking control and being responsible for your time. Most important thing I can tell you again, what I said earlier on, if you do not respect your time, others will also not respect your time. So learn to start taking control and being in charge of your time. So that's a little bit about time. Now we can move on to the next area. And this is about having the right type attitude, right? This is the third secret key to success, right? The third pillar of personal power, or the third key, right? And this is about enhancing. The previous one was about productivity. So this one now is attitude falls under performance. What are all the things that will impact your performance? And the goal here, for me, what I put down is a healthy and energized body is rested, hydrated, and fueled. I repeat. So the goal for you in your personal power to improve your performance, anything that impacts your performance, sleep, diet, nutrition, motivation, attitude, right? A healthy and energized body is rested, hydrated, and fueled. Okay? Now we're going to break this down. We're going to unpack it. So let's begin before we start speaking about attitude, we need to speak about motivation. They go hand in hand, they go together. Now, the question is, what motivates me to take action and do something? Okay? So, traditional psychology says the old stick carrot. You know, stick carrot means either I take the stick and I hit the donkey and the donkey will move, or I take a carrot and I dangle it in front of the donkey and the donkey will move. So, that was the old traditional psychology, right? And it translated for human beings into pain or pleasure, or fear or pleasure. So a lot of people are still motivated by this. Fear means you are motivated by fear. I don't want to fail. I don't want to do badly. Or I don't want to get hiding. Now you get into action, you'll do something out of fear. Or it can be the opposite. You'll find the younger generation are highly motivated a lot by pleasure. What's in it for me? If I do this, what do I get out of it? So there is a benefit. And, you know, this is more extrinsic motivation. We should not move towards extrinsic motivation, because these are basically based on material objects. We should be intrinsically motivated, because when it comes to personal power, you go, this is who I am. I'm a high performer. I'm very productive and I like to perform at my peak. So I'm doing it because this is who I am. These are my standards. So you want to do things for intrinsic motivation, not extrinsic. Now, one of the things that really motivates people is having an end result picture. So knowing exactly what it is that you're moving towards. And another big motivator also for people is attention. Now, if you are, for example, this is not everybody, but a lot of people are motivated by this, where you are, for example, you've done really well, you know, you achieved something, and now you want to be acknowledged. This is called, again, external reference, where you want somebody to say, hey, well done, you've done a good job, or hey, you've done so well, you got the highest mark in the subject, we give you, here's your certificate. That's, you know, this is a reference, external reference, where somebody needs to tell you, or somebody, you want that, okay? It's not good to always rely on these external references or external extrinsic motivation. What you want, rather, the thing that is far more powerful than just motivation is discipline. Because motivation is a feeling. And sometimes you might not be feeling to do anything, right? But if you got discipline, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, you're getting it done. It's like your salah, right? Whether you feel like reading salah or you don't, you have to do it. So this is why I always say discipline and consistency trumps motivation any day, because it gets done no matter whether you like it, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, it's going to get done. Why? That is discipline, consistency. Every day, set time of doing something. So we need to learn how to now also build yourself into this climate of consistency, of discipline, with the motivation, right? And here's three very important questions to ask yourself whenever you need to get something done. You can ask yourself, what are the best results I can achieve with my best effort? Why am I saying this is, a lot of times, people will do something just for the sake of doing it. So you did it because it had to be done, but you didn't put your best effort. And then, let's just, for example, it was schoolwork. Now the teacher tells you, no, this is terrible. Go and do it again. Now you have to go and redo the entire thing. Waste of time, waste of energy. So always give your best with the best effort first time around. The second question to ask yourself to create this personal power to get into action is asking yourself, what needs to happen for me to finish X, Y, and Z, to finish my project, to finish my assignment, to finish this task, right? What needs to happen for me to succeed in X, Y, and Z? And the last question is, how can I improve my current performance? Most people will ask, can I improve on how I do this? You get an answer of yes or no if you ask, can I, right? But if you just add one word before that can, how can I improve my current performance? Suddenly, it gives you a whole world of options. If you ask, can I you only got two answers. Yes, I can. No, I can't. But the moment I add the word how before that, suddenly now, whole world of options. I can do this, I can do that, I can ask somebody else, I can delegate. So ask yourself, how can I improve on my current performance? Okay, so attitude. Attitude is absolutely key, right? The difference is, you know, people ask me, what is attitude? So I generally like to say attitude is what you give off is what you get back, right? That's attitude. If you're walking somewhere, if you're going to, for example, a mall, and you're walking in the mall, and if you smile, if you're smiling at everybody, they will smile back at you. If you're in school, and you're walking around and you smile at everybody, they're going to smile back at you. So what you give off is what you get back. But a lot of times, you know, we get the wrong attitude. And people have a negative. For example, if you got a negative, bad attitude to, for example, math. Now, when you go into that class, because you got the bad attitude, you got a negative attitude, automatically your results are also going to be negative. You see it directly in the results. A very interesting case study comes to mind about attitude. Remember, attitude is something that you can't see. It has a very little difference, but the little difference makes a huge difference in people. And that is whether your attitude is positive or negative. Now, let me tell you the story. There was a teacher who had moved from one province to another province. And what had happened was, on the first day of school, remember the first 2 days of school, only teachers had it. So the first day of school, you know, he introduced himself, and then his colleagues asked him, okay, what subjects are you teaching, or what grades are you teaching? And he says, no, you know, I'm grade 12 specialist. And they say, oh, okay, you know, you're not going to have too much of problem because we only got two grade 12 class. And our A class, they're the high flyers. You know, you don't have to do much. They get the marks and they're going to get up all the A's. Then they said the B class, oh, those are the rotters. Those are the hooligans. They're going to finish you. They're going to give you a hard time. And it's about how you're going to deal with this B class, because they don't get work done. They don't do things. Now, he was just told this information, right? He was just given that. Now, the first day of school for students came on the Wednesday. Students come in, first week finished, second week finished. On the third week, middle of the third week, towards the end of the third week, the principal sees the new teacher and he asks him, how's our grade 12 doing? And then he replies and says, oh, you know, my A class, the high flyers, the principal says, whoa, stop. Who told you that the A class are the high flyers? And he thought to himself and he said, no, but, you know, that was told to me by my colleagues. They told me that the A class are the high flyers. So the principal says, no, man. You know, on the first day of school for students, I changed it around. I made the A class into the B class. And the B class, which was the rockers and how they told him, you know, the bad ones, I made them into the A class. So principal was, you know, quite smart. He told me, bring your last week's test mark. Let's see the test mark. And when you look at the test mark, that A class, which was actually the students that were supposed to be, you know, the troublesome lot, their marks had increased by 18%. Right? Why? Why is that? And if you look at the second class, who was actually the high flyers, their marks dropped by 12%. What was the reason? So if you look at it, it was his attitude. When he went into the A class, his attitude was, hey, these are my high flyers, you know, oh, I'm going to get. So it's something you can't see, but it's what you're giving off, right? Whether he's positive. And then when he goes into the second class, even though now he doesn't know that they were the actual high flyers, but in his mind is, these are the rockers. Now, he's got the attitude, oh, man, this is going to be a tough one. And, you know, now, because he has that negative attitude, their marks drop by 12%. So this case study is a very important thing to always remember. Your attitude will determine your altitude. So what gives us a winning attitude? Number one, very important, attitude of gratitude. We need to be grateful for every single moment, every single, you know, thing that we have in our life. We need to be grateful for it. You need to read, you know, make shukr for all the things. You know, I got hands, I got legs, I got good health, I can see, I got water. You know, when I want water, I can just open up a tap and I'm getting H2O. There are people that don't have these little things that we take for granted. So every day, you've got to begin and end your day with gratitude, making shukr. Simple dua. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukr kullu. You got to, the more grateful you are, the more Allah SWT will give you. So you got to have a winning attitude. And a winning attitude starts with an attitude of gratitude. Number two, second very important thing in having a winning attitude is your body language. Smile. 2 centimeters will change everything. 2 centimeters will change everything. So, you know, a lot of times people don't realize, especially students. One American psychologist in the field of academics has discovered that if we have the wrong face whilst you are studying, and this is even up to university students, if you have the wrong face, it will impact your pace. Meaning, if you've got the wrong face, you got this grumpy face, man, I got to learn. It's going to take you up to 4 times longer to finish because the system, the body's got resistance. The brain, the mindset is resisting. But if you just fake that smile, and okay, I got this, it'll actually help you finish your work 4 times faster. So smile, and if it's sunnah, you're going to get rewarded for it. Third very big aspect of having a winning attitude is an attitude of respect. Respecting yourself, respecting your elders is very important, guys. You know, right now, wherever I go to, all the schools that I go to, every week I'm in a different school. My message to everybody is we need to reinstill these values, especially the value of respect. Respect your elders, respect your teachers, respect any forms of knowledge, whether it's a book, you know, whether it's your Quran, whether it's a kitab. You must learn how to respect. But again, I like to start here by, before you start respecting everybody else and anything else, start to respect yourself. Respect yourself first. Self-respect is very important in this day and age of technology and all the vices, where somebody can tell you, you know, do this, or come, let's do this, or send me this. You know, self-respect is very important. On this note, you know, when we talk of self-respect, this is even for the little children. A study was done by the United Nations, UNESCO, and the World Economic Forum in 28 countries. And it's a touchy topic for a lot of people, but it's something that we have to talk about. And they in the 28 countries, what they went and assessed and surveyed was texting and sending of nudes. They wanted to know what is the average age of people that are texting and sending nudes. And this is, it's happening everywhere around you. It's even happening among, you know, leaders, scholars. It's happening everywhere, right? Texting and sending nudes. And if I tell you that South Africa, the age, the average age, if I were to ask you, what do you think the average age for African children who are texting and sending nudes, you might probably think 8, 9, 10. The average age, according to the survey done in the 28 countries, right, 14,000 from South Africa, 14,000 young people, 6 years, 7 months is the average. Now, this is 6 years. We think to ourselves, you know, so we got to teach them to respect themselves, respect yourself. Not send all these things. You got to learn self-respect. And again, also, it's a character trait that you be respectful of others, especially elders. Young friends, you go to your, you know, family, extended family, you're going to grandparents, uncle, aunt's house. First thing you do is you go and greet all the elders of the family. But that's respect. You don't, you know, start eating before them. You don't walk before. So respect is something that's one of the traits of having a winning attitude. And also, the first thing that's very important to have a winning attitude is self-talk. So we spoke about self-respect. Now you also have to have self-talk. What is self-talk? The things that I tell myself every single day. You've got to tell yourself, I'm a highly successful businessman, I'm a highly successful, great child, getting great results. It's not that you've forgotten that you're good. It's not that you've forgotten what your capability is. It's like when you make zikr. Every morning when you're going, La ilaha illallah, you haven't forgotten. What you're doing is you're reaffirming to yourself. You're reaffirming your belief in Allah. But we also, you need to tell yourself positive things that will boost you. Because remember, in the very first session I mentioned, that the average human being has approximately 50 to 60,000 thoughts a day. This is your self-talk, the things you're telling yourself. Start telling yourself, I love you when you look in the mirror. I love you. You're going to love yourself, right? This is part of your self-talk. I am good. I can do this. I am a winner. You got to keep, you know, having this positive self-talk. So it increases your confidence and your belief in yourself. Also, in having a winning attitude is you have to stop competing and comparing yourself. One of the biggest things that I have found is we live in a very competitive community, very competitive society. We always want to compete with others. Stop competing, because if your potential is right up there, you know you've got very high potential. But now you want to compete with somebody else, and their potential is down here. This means now suddenly I have to come down to compete with them on their level. So stop competing and stop comparing yourself to others. If you want to compare or compete, compete with yourself. Compare yourself to yourself. Where was I last year? Where was I last quarter? Where was I last month? Last week? Where am I now? Compare yourself to yourself. The last thing about having a deep attitude is to always focus on the good of everything. Focus on the good. No matter how bad the situation is, you want to focus on the good. Now, here's a fun and interesting fact. Universities and companies, they work together, right? So companies, big companies, like to go to universities and look at the students that are in their industry or their field, and they like to take, before, they used to take the students with the highest mark. They don't do that anymore. Now, I work with quite a few big companies, big HR companies, like, you know, SA Home Loans, Liberty Life, some of the big HR. What do they do now? Now, they are taking people 85% based on your attitude and only 15% based on your knowledge of the industry or the work that you are doing. So 15% on mark, 85% on my attitude. Your emotional intelligence, very, very important, you know. So those are the tips for having a winning attitude. Now, we go to the next part. And this is the pillar that I was talking about, perseverance and persistence, right? So the goal here is a focused mind perseveres and overcomes life challenges and obstacles, hard days, tough days. You'll get that. Not every day is going to be a good day. Some days are going to be really tough. Some days are going to be really difficult, okay? But what we have to do is we have to persevere and persist until we achieve our goals. You know, if I were to ask all of you right now, if I tell you, pick up your hand, pick up your right hand, pick up your hand straight up like you know, giving an answer in class. And I tell you, right, pick it up as high as you can go, right? You'll put your hand higher. And then I tell you, you know what? Reach a little higher. And you'll be able to push yourself to reach a little higher. And then I say, you know what? Come on, let's push even more. Reach even more higher. You'll find some people will, you know, their backs will get straight, then push more higher. Some people might stand up. Some people might get onto the chair and even higher. What you are doing is you are raising your standards. So when it's difficult time, challenging time, right, you got to persevere by getting stronger. Level up and raise your standards. Raise your standards. Never, ever give up. You know, it can be difficult obstacles. You find a way somehow or the other. You go around, you go over, you go below, but you find a way. And the key to perseverance is stubborn, being patient. You have to have patience. You know the very famous saying, Rome was not built in a day, right? So again, we got to have patience, and you got to love what you're doing. You got to love what you're doing. Every situation, every obstacle, every challenge is an opportunity for you to learn, an opportunity for you to grow, an opportunity for you to get better. So Every obstacle in life is there for a reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. It's just a test. Have sabr. Right? Have sabr. The two things that go, what we spoke about earlier on in attitude, sabr and shukr. Be patient and be grateful. Right? So, what you're going to do is raise your standards. And don't give up. You know, I like to always give the stats. In South Africa, annually, in terms of education, annually we have approximately 1.3 million students that register for grade R, right, for grade 1, entering school. However, less than half of them actually finish the matric final exam. Even more frightening is only about 4% actually ends up finishing school, going to university and finishing your degree. Right? So they say 4 in every 100 actually finishes the degree. So what this tells us is that more than 60% of people actually give up. You know, so we need to learn to become people that persevere and persist. We don't ever give up. And how do we go about persevering and persisting? The secret to this is about having flexibility. This is secret number 4, right? I told you what secret number 5, perseverance and persistence. But how do we persevere and persist? Is about having flexibility in your approach. Flexibility means I can change my approach. I can do something different. Because if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same result. So for things to change, I need to change my approach. I need to change what I'm doing. And to change what I'm doing, remember last week I said, you might get results, and sometimes it's results that you don't want. So all we got to do is we got to go and change the action. Same here. When things are not working out, difficult times, hard times, challenging times, you need to change your approach. You need to do something different, okay? And what sometimes that might require, sometimes it might mean you need to get new skills because your current skills might be outdated. So we got to constantly upgrade our skills, right? Upgrade and improve your skills, your devices, your phones, your cell phones, you know, your tablets and computers, all these devices, every now and then, it needs an upgrade. Operating system needs an upgrade. You also need an upgrade. So upgrade your skills and change the approach. If this is not working, take a different approach. Do something different. And what happens is also, you got to learn to scale, right? Scaling means you do more, scale up means you do more of what's working, what results you are getting. And you see something's not working, you do less of, you scale down. And remember, when it comes to flexibility, there's a rule, there's a golden rule in neuroscience that we say, there's always a way. No matter what, there's always a way. If you think that there is no way, it means you are looking through the wrong eyes. You're looking through the eyes of problems. And that's why you'll see more problems. But if you change how you're looking at it, you're changing the way you view the situation with possibility. Now, you know, okay, there is a way. I can find a way. You know, there's always an option. And also very important to this is you've got to remain focused. That's why I said the goal is to be very focused, right? So be positive and focus on the good. Look at the good and ask yourself, what can I learn from this challenge, this obstacle, this setback? You know, sometimes you might fail, might be bad, right? You might have lost something or you may have failed at something. And that's good because we can learn from it. It's just feedback. It's just feedback. I say treat everything as feedback and I can now learn from it. Learning has 3 conditions. Learning is always only about you. It's never about somebody else. Number 2, learning is always stated in the positive. It's never stated, well, I'm not going to do this. Always stated in what you want and what you want. It's stated in the positive. And the 3rd condition for a learning, this is to empower yourself. The 3rd condition to a learning is it must always be stated in the positive. Okay, so just to quickly recap, today we spoke about how to take control of your time, how to manage time, how to actually plan, organize, prioritize, how to get into action, right? How to break things down. Then I told you about how to create a high-performance to-do list, breaking things down into projects. And then we spoke about improving performance. We spoke about motivation. We spoke about the importance of attitude and how to have a winning attitude. And then we spoke about secret number 4 and 5, which was perseverance, flexibility, and perseverance, persistence. It makes you more focused. You can persevere. You overcome life challenges and obstacles. It's my time has been reached. With that, we will close today. And inshallah, I will catch up with you again next week on the Power Hour. So this is Junaid Bayat signing off. Power Hour. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.